This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
More violence in St. Louis. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, September 18. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Dozens of arrests during a third night of unrest that broke out following peaceful protests. Demonstrators are protesting the outcome of a police shooting trial.
The southeastern U.S. is still coping with the damage from Hurricane Irma, just as Hurricane Maria is churning through the Caribbean.
President Trump visits the United Nations this week. Today, he'll discuss reforming the U.N. Tomorrow, he'll address the full assembly.
And some new websites and Twitter accounts you haven't heard of that can help you score great airfare deals.
The first one is a Twitter account, at Skyscanner. This one, you choose the date, and then you it chooses a destination for you. So this is kind of fun if you're like, I don't know where I want to go. But this is some way to kind of find that. You can see a bunch of places around the world.
Katie Hill at Moneyish.com on little-known websites and Twitter accounts for travel bargains. Her list in about 20 minutes. For the third night in a row, violent protests erupted in St. Louis over the acquittal of a white policeman who had shot a black man. Police say more than 80 people were arrested last night. Cops in riot gear used pepper spray and arrested the demonstrators who ignored orders to disperse following a larger, peaceful protest. At a late-night news conference, the mayor of St. Louis noted that the vast majority of protesters are nonviolent and blamed the trouble on a group of agitators. St. Louis Police Chief Larry O'Toole.
Some criminals assaulted law enforcement officers and threw chemicals and rocks at them. All the officers' injuries were minor or moderate.
After nightfall, a small group remained in the scene, turned to one of disorder following the pattern of Friday and Saturday. Protesters smashed windows and attempted to block a ramp to an interstate highway. Last night's protests were the largest of the weekend, with more than 1,000 protesters. Police in turn deployed their largest show of force. Another powerful storm is brewing in the Atlantic. Forecasters are predicting that Maria will strengthen into a major hurricane as she descends onto the Leeward Islands. Maria is approaching the eastern Caribbean less than 2 weeks after Irma hammered the region before landing in Florida. In all, Irma is blamed on the deaths of 84 people, more than half of them in the Caribbean. Richard Pasch of the National Hurricane Center is warning Puerto Rico to monitor the storm.
We think the conditions are favorable for it to intensify pretty rapidly here as it nears the Leeward Islands.
The British Virgin Islands and St. Martin, devastated by Hurricane Irma, were under a hurricane watch, as were the U.S. Virgin Islands. Separately, there's a tropical storm watch for portions of the U.S. Mid-Atlantic and New England coast by tomorrow as a second hurricane, Jose, move slowly north from off of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. The eye of Jose, however, is expected to remain off the East Coast. President Trump will be in his hometown of New York City in the early part of this week for his first visit to the United Nations General Assembly. Mr. Trump will focus much of his attention at the summit today on reforming the UN itself, headlining a meeting with dozens of world leaders. He once described the UN as a, quote, club for people to get together, talk, and have a good time. He has produced a 10-point pledge to clean up the UN. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster was on ABC's This Week.
It will be part of his message that the United Nations needs to reform. And the United Nations has to reform to meet the goals and objectives laid out by the great Secretary General there and to be true to its charter.
Tomorrow, the president faces the more high-profile task of addressing leaders from all 193 member states in the General Assembly. His speech will likely be widely scrutinized for hints of his administration's plans for things like how it'll handle rising North Korean aggression, the future of the Iran nuclear deal, and the U.S. position on the Paris Climate Accords. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys for your dog from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Each monthly box is themed like Country Fair or Brooklyn Hipster and packed with new and unique toys that continue to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. Every month, BarkBox Paw Picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. If your dog does not like something in the box, they'll even send you something they'll love for free. Because BarkBox is all about dog happiness. Free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. My dogs Lola and Daisy are going to love it when the treats and toys show up at the door. It'll keep them happy, and it's convenient for me. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/Gordon when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. That's BarkBox.com/Gordon to get a free month when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. Make your dog happy. BarkBox.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can find us on Facebook. You can look us up on Twitter. We use the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. President Trump is finding out he's the only Republican who can take on his base while working with Democrats and not suffer much at all. It's a piece from Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. Josh, how do you see it?
The big question right now is whether Trump is going to lose his base because he's negotiating and making deals with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, Chuck and Nancy, as he now calls them. Yeah. And a lot of people think because Sean Hannity and a lot of the talk radio hosts on the right, Ann Coulter, some of the anti-immigration voices on the right, are so upset at Trump because of his betrayal that he's going to lose support. This will be the moment when he loses support with the Republican base. I'm very skeptical that the numbers are going to change all that much. I think that support for Trump is largely premised on the person and the personality, not on the issues. And even though immigration is definitely a core line of support from these people to Trump, I think you'll see a much more forgiving base, and I think people will frankly blame Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. You're already hearing folks like Sean Hannity starting to blame Ryan and McConnell for Trump's actions, not having the president responsible for what he's actually doing himself.
Your point's an interesting one about his base, the president's base, not necessarily identifying with issues. And I think it could be argued that his base doesn't necessarily either focus on party all the time, right? I mean, he's in because he's different, and they were hoping that he would shake things up.
Yeah, a couple points. I mean, first, when you look at immigration, which is a big reason why a lot of Republicans in his base voted for him, the one issue where they're not quite as hardcore on the right about is the DACA issue. You do find, you know, majorities of even Trump supporters in polls that don't want to deport them and want to have some kind of status, legal status for them. So that's the one, even among the hardliners, that's the issue where they're most willing to compromise. Secondly, I mean, you look at like another incident that happened recently, that when Trump reamed out Jeff Sessions, his attorney general, who was advancing many of these same immigration policies that are so supported by his base, and when he called him an idiot and when he tweeted at him and lashed out at him, you know, a lot of people thought he was going to lose support from the base at that moment. But that didn't happen. And also in Alabama, where there is a Senate race taking place, a lot of the Republicans running in that race actually sided with Trump. They did not criticize Donald Trump. So I really think that you're looking at a president who has immense loyalty from his base. Even if they might disagree with him on how he's handled this, I don't think he'll lose a whole lot of support.
We're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. His piece is called Trump Disarms His Party's Hardliners. You write, too, with Trump, it's often hard to tell the difference between his undisciplined, impulsive decision-making and a genuine strategic pivot. What are we looking at here, say, in the coming weeks and months? Any way to read the tea leaves?
Well, this doesn't help the Republican Party because, number one, they haven't passed any consequential legislation. If there is a deal that gets struck, that's going to be the one big accomplishment, which is not something that the right is going to get energized about. So this might be good for Trump if he plays his cards right. This could help his job approval on the margins. It's not going to help the Republican Party for the midterm elections. And it really, you know, again, this is something that the president could have done from the outset of his administration if he wanted to kind of from the outset build some political capital with Democrats and then spend it later on some of the big, more controversial issues.
Do you think that Mr. Trump cares that what he's doing might negatively impact the Republican Party at election time?
He cares about himself first and foremost, and frankly, like that's not that unusual. Just looking at President Obama's record, he, didn't do any favors for congressional Democrats. They lost historic numbers of seats when Obama was president, but Obama was able to win re-election, and he was able to put his brand ahead of the Democratic Party. And what you're seeing, I think, is with Trump is almost that MO on steroids. You're seeing Trump now totally concerned about himself and willing to throw Republicans under the bus if that suits his own short-term political interest.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
In a strengthening Hurricane Maria is swirling toward the eastern Caribbean, with forecasters warning it probably will be a major storm by the time it passes through the already battered Leeward Islands later today. Richard Pash of the National Hurricane Center says Maria grew into a hurricane yesterday.
We do expect it to remain offshore, but it's a large storm, so its effects could easily reach portions of the coastline and bring them hazardous conditions over the next couple of days.
Maria is expected to become much stronger over the next 48 hours, following a path that would take it near many of the islands wrecked by Hurricane Irma and on to Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti. Hundreds of police officers in full riot gear responded to the streets of downtown St. Louis after another day of peaceful protests over an ex-police officer's acquittal in the death of a black man gave way to property damage and dangerous encounters with officers. Police made dozens of arrests shortly before midnight when people ignored orders to disperse. St. Louis Police Chief Larry O'Toole says several officers have been injured.
These criminals we've arrested should be held accountable and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We're in control. This is our city, and we're going to protect it.
More protests are expected this morning, with demonstrators planning to gather downtown. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is recommending that 6 of 27 national monuments under review by the Trump administration be reduced in size, with changes to several others proposed. A leaked memo from Zinke to President Trump recommends that 2 Utah monuments, Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante, be reduced, along with Nevada's Gold Butte and Oregon's Cascade Siskiyou. It was a night of politics at the Emmys, with everyone from host Stephen Colbert to Alec Baldwin getting in zingers about Donald Trump, but it was also about diversity and new voices, as Sterling K. Brown was the first black actor in nearly 20 years to win for lead actor in a drama. The This Is Us star gave a shout out to Andrew Brower, who had won in 1998 for Homicide: Life on the Streets.
I just want to say, Mr. Brower, whether it is at Stanford University or on this Emmy stage, it is my supreme honor to follow in your footsteps.
Julia Louise Dreyfus won for Veep, her 6th consecutive Emmy.
Six in a row. That's impressive. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. You likely know how to hit up Kayak, Expedia, Google Flights, and other airfare search engines when trying to compare flights. And you probably also know to follow the major airlines on Twitter to see their sales. Well, that's not a bad place to start. You could be missing out on more great deals on airfare by not knowing where else to go online. Here are some other sites and Twitter accounts to consider from Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Katie, what did you find?
Yeah, I wanted to really look at websites and Twitter accounts that maybe you've never heard of but are still kind of great ways to find deals. So I asked around to all my travel friends looking for that. The first one is a Twitter account, at Skyscanner. This one, you choose the date, and then it chooses a destination for you. So this is kind of fun if you're like, I don't know where I want to go. But this is some way to kind of find that. You can see a bunch of places around the world. So I thought that was a sort of fun one. And you obviously don't have to go where they choose, but it's a fun way to look for deals and see what's happening right then.
I like that. Yeah. I do like that. Yeah, that's good. What else made the list?
ScottsCheapFlights.com, another that I had not heard of. This came from Colleen Kelly, who is a host of PBS series on travel. This is good for international travel. She says it gives you some of the best deals in town. When I poked around, I thought so too. So this is just, they'll tell you, where is it cheap to go, what's happening, who's offering a deal now, and it's ScottsCheapFlights.com.
This really comes down to who can scour and find the best data, right?
It's who's a good aggregator of these deals, because they pop up everywhere. Some airlines put out, following them on Twitter is a good idea, but you'd have to follow so many if you want to do an international flight. I mean, there's just no way to do it. And so it is. It's who's aggregating these deals really well. Some of these little Twitter accounts are doing a really good job, and you just might not have ever heard of them.
Mm. All right. So another one you mentioned on Twitter is at DealRay. What's that one?
Yeah. They'll send you text alerts when there's a new deal based on your interest or your chosen departure airport or a country of interest. I like that because sometimes you forget to check things or whatever, and they'll send you a text, hey, there's a deal, leaving out of Atlanta or leaving out of New York or whatever, and you're like, okay. And it seems like an easy way to find deals that isn't too annoying.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Her piece is called 5 Little Known Websites and Twitter Accounts for Scoring Awesome Flight Deals. All right, what else made the list?
At Secret Flying, which one of my experts basically told me he finds this account easier to follow than following all the major airlines and the flight comparison websites on Twitter. He follows at Secret Flying. They keep track of all the best flight deals that are coming out, other promotions the airlines are doing, and they just tweet them out. So that's a super easy way to do it. And for him, it was like he just said, I don't even bother with following all the major airlines anymore. I just trust this at Secret Flying to tweet out all the deals for me. I mean, a lot of these Twitter accounts, right, it's not like you still, let's say you're going to fly home just for Thanksgiving, you still should just look for your flights on Google Flights and Kayak and Expedia. But these are kind of fun Twitter accounts if you're like, I don't really know where I want to go on vacation, but I'm down to go somewhere if there's a really great deal. And these are kind of fun ways, Twitter accounts to follow if you're kind of open to a whimsical thing like that.
Thanks, Katie. That is Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, September 18. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: dozens of arrests during violent protests in St. Louis. The Caribbean braces for Hurricane Maria. Trump visits the UN this week. 40% fewer items on the new menu at Chili's beginning today. Falcons over the Packers in the Sunday night game. Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer Bobby the Brain Heenan has died at 73. Clemson leapfrogs to number 2 in the AP College Football Poll. And young voters in Australia confused by something called a mail-in ballot. That story in about 20 minutes. As they tally up the losses from Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, government officials are looking for ways to step up purchases of frequently flooded houses, which have become a huge drain on the financially troubled federal flood insurance program, which is already more than $24 billion in debt. One home they might have their eyes on, the house of Brian Harmon in Kingwood, Texas, which has flooded a whopping 22 times since 1979. More from Wall Street Journal senior special writer Ruth Simon. Ruth, what's his story?
So this gentleman I spoke to has a home that has flooded multiple times. It had flooded before he bought it, but he didn't realize that it had flooded multiple times before he bought it, and it has continued to flood. It flooded 3 times last year. He had just fixed it up, and it really got drenched during the most recent hurricane. So he is finally ready, I think, to give up and try to sell it into a buyout program that's used to purchase properties that flood a lot.
Jeez. So get into some of the stats, I guess, about the percentages of homes that have flooded multiple times and that drain on that federal program.
So I talked to the Natural Resources Defense Council, which has done an analysis of federal flood data, and they estimate that nearly half of frequently flooded properties had received more in total damage payments than the flood program's estimate of what they're worth. And nearly one in five of the most frequently flooded properties are in Florida and Texas. We don't know right now exactly how much of the payouts from the flood program have gone to these frequently flooded properties, but people recognize it's an issue. This week, the person who directs the federal flood program said that he's looking at ways to try to arrange for buyouts faster of homes that flood, because what happens is people get their flood insurance check, and it can be a lot longer before they know if their home is eligible for a buyout. So it's hard to wait. You fix up your home. You think maybe this won't happen again.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal's senior special writer Ruth Simon about her piece entitled "One House, 22 Floods, Repeated Claims Drain Federal Insurance Program." Was there never something in any of this language, say, for this program that said you get one shot, you get one bailout, and that's it? Or no, I guess not.
No. And in fact, I'm not sure one or how many would be the agreed upon what you know, folks would say would be right. But the federal flood program doesn't have the authority at this point to say, you know, five losses or two losses or 10 losses or whatever it is, and yeah, you're out. People get to purchase flood insurance, and the flood program pays claims.
What does the government do, Ruth, when they buy out a home, say, in a flood area? What do they do with the property?
Usually what happens is the property is raised, and then the land is allowed to revert to its natural state. And one of the things that does, besides removing a drain from the flood insurance program, it does a couple other things. The land is usually turned into wetlands or into just barren land, which allows it to become wetlands or to absorb water when there is a big storm, so it can catch some of the runoff. The other thing that you hear from local officials is they worry, in folks in Texas I was talking to, about, you know, these frequently flooded properties are a threat to the people who live in them if there's a big storm, and also to the first responders who have to go out there.
Thanks, Ruth. Wall Street Journal senior special writer Ruth Simon. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending some time with us on this Monday. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it may be the biggest fantasy football question of the season so far. Should you start or sit Odell Beckham Jr. in Week 2 versus the Lions? There still has been no definitive word on whether the injured Giant will play tonight on Monday Night Football. And if you would stop hounding OBJ about it, he'd be much appreciative. Beckham took to Twitter on Saturday to kindly ask fantasy players to stop pestering him about his injury status on social media, tweeting, "No offense, I could care less about your fantasy teams. This is my real life, focusing on getting healthy and getting better, one day at a time." The post has been liked and retweeted well over 100,000 times since then. Game time injury decisions for Monday Night Football are especially impactful to fantasy players, since if the player does not wind up playing, you likely won't have any players to sub in with the rest of your roster having already played on Sunday.
Yikes.
Right. So, you know, like on Sunday, if it's a game time decision, it happens, you know, around noontime. You still have time to shuffle things up. Now you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah.
And then if he does wind up playing and scores three touchdowns, you're going to be kicking yourself because you put him on the bench.
Right. Do you have a OBJ on your fantasy team?
I don't. And I would kill to have him injured or not at this point. It has not been a good fantasy season so far for me.
That's funny because my son said the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, it's just been disastrous.
Yeah.
2 weeks of just disaster.
You know
and
what
I said,
think?
Did you have one guy who let you down today?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm getting nothing out of any of my big performers.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think it seems like scoring and sort of fantasy football production overall is down so far.
Oh, is that right?
Like, yeah. It's just been not a lot of scoring, not a lot of big scoring games. So that's what I've seen so far. That's my amateur fantasy analysis.
I by the way, separately, I expect to be on national television tonight.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that ESPN generally carries the introduction of the national anthem.
Right.
So, which I will probably do. And I would imagine ESPN's current state of affairs, they would like to include the national anthem on their broadcast.
Yes, we need to be as patriotic as possible right now. Nice, setting the DVR for that. And authorities, Gordon, say an Indiana man who robbed a gas station made off with a lot of items, among them food, drinks, and cigarettes. What he didn't steal was gas, and that turned out to be problematic. According to local news reports, a state trooper arrested 33-year-old Sean Harris last week after finding him stranded by the side of a two-lane highway with his vehicle out of fuel. Authorities say Harris was arrested not long after he entered the gas station, implied that he had a gun and took the items. And it may come as no surprise, Gordon, that police say the South Bend area man's blood alcohol level was above the legal limit.
Oh, yeah, a shocker there. Huh?
How about that?
But he didn't take booze, apparently, from the gas station store.
No, he was well covered in that department, apparently. You see, the logistics were all wrong here. What you got to do in a situation like this, you show up, you get your gas first, obviously, and then go and rob the gas station.
Always important to have your getaway vehicle properly gassed up.
Yes.
Got
it. This is Dumb Criminal 101 here, folks.
Thank you, Mike. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. By the way, unless you're one of the highest performers at the office, the Wall Street Journal says don't expect next year's paycheck to grow much. A new survey by the consulting firm Aon Hewitt finds businesses are planning to keep budgets for raises relatively flat in 2018 while continuing to devote more payroll dollars to performance-based pay. The survey found that despite low unemployment and increased competition for talent, companies are bearish on across-the-board pay raises. Companies are paying to keep their highest performers happy and in place, with an average 12.5% of payroll going to incentive and bonus pay next year. Overall, two-thirds of the organizations in the survey said they will use merit pay to show workers who's doing a good job and who could stand to improve. Of those companies, 40% said they would reduce or eliminate raises for low performers. Even some high performers will have to work harder next year. 15% of the companies changing merit pay say they will set more aggressive targets for bonuses and incentive pay. It's 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
More than 80 people were arrested last night as protests in St. Louis over the acquittal of a white policeman who had shot a black man turned violent for a third night running. Police and riot gear used pepper spray and arrested the demonstrators who had defied orders to disperse following a larger peaceful protest. Local Minister Richard Dalton is among those trying to get the Black Lives Matter message out peacefully.
We need to settle this, and we're not going to settle it with more misuse of deadly force by police, and we're not going to settle it by incidences in the street where residents and people who feel offended create violence.
Mayor Lyda Crewson blamed the trouble on a group of agitators. British police are holding two suspects in custody over the London subway blast as commuters headed to work today in the first morning rush hour since the attack. Authorities have reduced the terror threat level from critical to severe, meaning they no longer believe another attack is imminent. North Korea's nuclear threat looms this week over the annual gathering of world leaders at the United Nations in New York, where diplomats are eager to hear President Trump address the 193-member body for the first time. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster told ABC Trump's speech will touch on the escalating crisis.
We need a fundamentally different approach with North Korea. We may have the opportunity to engage in talks, but they better be under some fundamentally different conditions than we've begun those talks in the past.
Despite his skepticism about the value of international organizations and the UN in particular, Trump will seek support for tough measures against North Korea while pressing his America First message to the world body. The Stephen King adaptation It continues to rack it up at the box office, taking in another $60 million in its second week and leaving a paltry $7.5 million for the psychological thriller Mother. New Line and Warner Brothers' It easily remain the top draw. With $218.7 million to date, It is now the highest-grossing September release ever.
Wow. All right, so that is in contrast with a report I got from a friend of mine who's a big moviegoer, loves to see movies in theater.
Okay.
She said Mother is arguably the worst movie she has ever seen in her life.
Ouch.
She said, a complete waste of time. Well, I am seeking to get my money back.
Well, there. That's $7.5 million is not that much.
And she actually said she was disappointed in It also, despite those numbers. Thank you. One person's take. Soccer Mom. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Can young voters learn to use a mailbox? The outcome of a national mail-in vote in Australia this fall on sanctioning same-sex marriage may teeter on the answer. Like elsewhere, instant message apps and email have taken their toll. Australians sent a billion fewer letters last year than a decade ago. Business and government mail account for 95% of all letters. The Wall Street Journal says Postal Service appears to have joined the list of habits abandoned by millennials, including paying by check, and answering the doorbell. Early polls showed 59% of voters in favor of allowing same-sex marriage, with support around 80% among voters age 25 and younger. But advocates worry whether enough millennials like Anna Dennis, who prefers instant messaging, know how to mail a letter. The 23-year-old woman, a sociology student at the elite Australian National University, says the last time she had to mail something, she took her dad to help her. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.